Let us pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you open eyes that we see, our ears are here, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. As we left our last class, I think we just about finished up with teaching on the apostles, all the information that I'm going to give you on the apostle. So as we're going through the fivefold ministry gifts, we're going to cover each one of them. And today we're going to go to the next one. As you know, in our basic scriptures, the apostle was first, the prophets was second. So we're going to get into the prophets today. Let's go back and look at our basic scriptures, that one that we cover. Give you a little refresher. The word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So as we hear the word of God, we can have faith for what the word of God is saying. So first of all, turn back to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll look at our basic, some of our basic scriptures here in Ephesians chapter 2. And looking at verse 19 and 20. At verse 19, say, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning at verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. It says, and it reads this way. It says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, then after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. So it seems like if we don't understand this part of the scriptures, then those miracles and that we are supposed to be seeing, the gifts of healings, won't begin to manifest themselves unless we get a clear understanding of what the word of God is speaking here. And reestablishing, what we're doing is reestablishing God's government the way he set it up, the way he wanted it from the beginning. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And this is what we basically should be doing as fivefold ministry gifts to the body of Christ. Jesus gave them to the body, and they are supposed to be doing these things. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, it says that there is one body and one spirit, even as your call and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So it seems to be everywhere. Everywhere we look, he should be there. He said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11 say, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And then he gave us these for this particular reason. First of all, for the perfecting of the saints. That means for the maturing of the saints, that the saints might grow up and operate in the kingdom as mature sons and daughters of God. Secondly is for the work of the ministry. Thirdly is for the edifying of the body of Christ. until we all come into the unity of the faith, verse 13, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man, a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unto the stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ. And so we who are in the body, that's where we should be headed, to that stature. So he says, what when he said your stature of the fullness of Christ, the same thing that Jesus did while he was here on the earth. That's why he could make that a statement over in John 14. He could say, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works, because I go unto my Father. He left it in our hands. So, but you have to be trained. We have to be trained to operate in the kingdom the way Jesus did it for us. Jesus was our example. He came through and he came here as a man. He showed us how we should operate here in the earth. One of the things that he said he was manifest, 1 John 3 and 8, he said he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So he was, that's why, and so we should be doing the same thing. If we're going to get to that stature, anytime the enemy comes in, you can go back and look at that scripture in John 10:10, where it says, Satan come to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. So if we are not operating in the abundant life, we're not operating in the kingdom the way God set it up from the beginning. So we should be operating to the fullness of the stature, of the measure of Christ Jesus. And the only way we're going to do that is we're going to have to be trained and taught how to operate. These fivefold ministry graces, these gifts that God gave, that Jesus gave to these gifts, what he did, he put certain graces in them. And these graces are designed to impart to the body of Christ. They are not for a personal use, but they're to impart to the body of Christ. So if they're using the gifts the way God set it up, then that impartation, every gift should be imparting something to the body. And if you're receiving that which they're imparting, then you should be operating the way that gift is what he's imparting to you. Matthew 10:41, and it makes a statement. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And so if we're going to operate that way, then you're going to receive him as a prophet. And then what's going to happen? You're going to begin to act like that prophet. He said, he that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. That is a principle. God set it up in the scripture, but you can use that as a principle. He that receive an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. And they showed us over in Acts chapter 6 with those table waiters when they went out and they called them. They should have been full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, Philip and Stephen. And the same thing that the apostles was doing, they was healing, doing signs and wonders. And so what happened? The apostles imparted that grace that was in them on those table waiters. We are who are servants of any ministry that we are under. If the apostle or the pastor or the teacher or the evangelist imparting that grace that's in him, then we should be operating the same way that individual. If you have a spiritual father, then you should be operating the same way, because they should be imparting those graces unto you. Amen. Let's look at the next vital piece in the government of a revival church. And this is the role of the prophet. We're going to look at some of how God thinks about a prophet, what he feels about a prophet. The foundation is incomplete without the presence of their prophetic anointing. And so, again, as he said, remember what when we started ministering on this, we said that the apostle and the prophets is looking to heaven. That's their main concern. They're finding out what it is that heaven wants here on the earth and bringing what heaven wants on the earth and bringing that here. And so, again, we got a scripture reference to that when Jesus began to minister to his disciples and he asked them to pray. He said, pray, always pray this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So that's God's will for the earth, that his kingdom be established in the earth, and the same thing that goes on in heaven should be going on in earth. There's no sickness, there's no disease in heaven. So we who are operating in the kingdom, the way God set it up, that we should be operating where there's no sickness and no disease. There's no lack and poverty in heaven. So the same thing should be going on here in the earth. God emphasizes the vitally important role of the prophets throughout the scripture. And so one of the things that he said, turn to Amos chapter 3. You can use your index. I'll give you a few minutes to find it. Some of you got your little tablets. You can punch it up real quick. But Amos 3. Let's see if I can find it here. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Amos 3 and 7 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servant, the prophets. And so again, that's coming from heaven. God says, the prophets are saying what I tell them to say. He is revealing his secrets to them. And as he reveal his secrets to the prophets, then they come back and impart it to the body of Christ. They tell the body what God is saying. They're hearing from heaven and they're telling what to say. So if the prophet is speaking, it's just like God himself. If we receive him, like the word of God says, if we receive him as a prophet, then whatever comes out of his mouth, he's speaking for God. And so we receive it that way. The apostles, same way. The teachers, same way. Evangelists, same way. And the pastor should be the same way. He says that, so surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveal his secrets unto his servant, the prophet. Let's turn to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 3, looking at verse 21. This was prophesied from the prophets earlier, and now they're beginning to operate in that which God had prophesied to them from the prophets. In verse 20, it says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So he spoke these things. He didn't speak them. He spoke them through his prophets. And he says, since the world began, he spoke these things to his prophet. He said, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So he's letting them know, if the prophet come and speak to you, you should hear him just like God himself is speaking, because it's coming from heaven. And so many times we miss our answer because we are expecting God to speak to us some other way. But if he's put us under a ministry or put us under a gift, and whatever comes out of that gift's mouth should be from heaven. If you're expecting to hear from heaven, if you've been seeking God for something, if you've been praying for something, and that word comes out of his mouth, if we believe it and receive it as it comes out of that man of God's mouth, then we should know that it's coming from heaven. And that's God's word for what? For our situation. And that's when God can say, truly, he said, my word will not return to me void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. But he needs somebody to receive that which he's sending out to. If you don't receive it, then you can't have it. If someone giving you a gift and you don't receive that gift, then guess what's going to happen? A gift going to sit on the side and it's going to serve no purpose. So God has given us these gifts, these graces, fivefold ministry gifts that it can impart to us what we need from heaven so we can operate in the kingdom the way God set it up. Let me read a little bit further in that. I was reading verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of the brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and to thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquity. That was spoken from all throughout the scriptures. He was prophesying that Jesus was coming. After Adam sinned and he gave up the kingdom, then he started sending through the word by word of his prophets that what was going to happen. And then after this happened, after Jesus came and he hung on the cross and finished up everything that the prophets had foretold, and now it is manifested in the earth. And that's what he was saying. Jesus was a prophet. Jesus himself operated in all fivefold ministry gifts. He operated as an apostle. He operated as a prophet. He operated as a pastor, the great shepherd. He operated as an evangelist. He called people into the kingdom and also was a great teacher. So in all those gifts, all those fivefold ministry gifts, he gave us examples on how to operate in this kingdom through him. So we have to come to a total conviction that Jesus modeled this Christian life for us. And if we follow his pattern, then those supernatural acts, I can't get past supernatural. We got to keep that in our forefront. Supernatural is a supernatural kingdom that we operated in. Jesus always operated in the supernatural. So since he operated in the supernatural, that's why you can always see signs and wonders and miracles. And we who are in the kingdom, we should get to the point that everywhere we go, we should expect to see a sign, a wonder, a miracle operating in our lives, because that's what God set it up to be. Success is built through the value we maintain for the prophetic voices in our environment. Because our prosperity comes through our agreement with heaven's culture, and the prophets clarify the reality of that culture for us and invite us to enter in. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, I'm just going to read one verse out of there. And like I said, what's happening now, the Spirit of God is beginning to restore his government back in the earth. And he's calling his gifts back to make sure that the body of Christ understand what he's saying. And they're revealing, just like they reveal the scriptures to the Apostle Paul when he went out in that Arabian desert. And that's why when he came back, and he began to speak to the Corinthian church, he said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said, God then revealed this to me. He revealed this kingdom to me. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to sit down, and every time I go into a certain area, into the Corinthian church, or into the church at Ephesus, or into the church of Colossae, he said, I'm going to write some doctrine that to make sure that the church is operating the way God set it up from the beginning. So he was the great apostle. Jesus Christ had came through. He had laid the foundation. And then the apostles coming along and they're building up. They're building this doctrine up. In the book of Acts, it said they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Turn right over. I'm going to turn back here. Turn to Acts chapter 2 right quick. And Acts chapter 2, looking at verse 42, just two scriptures, by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. In Acts 2 and 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Looking at verse 11 and 12. Like I say, these are just basic scriptures. So we cover them and we go over them until we get them in our spirits and in our mind. What we are doing now? We're doing a Romans 12 and 2. We are being not conformed to this world, but we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what's happening as you sit here and you listen to these various gifts that God has put in your path. And so what they're doing, they're giving you what God is saying from heaven so you can begin to operate in the kingdom the way God set it up. Here in Acts chapter 5, looking at verse 11, it said, and great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostle were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So, again, if we are not seeing signs and wonders in our lives, we have to continue to grow. We have to continue to learn and continue not just continue to hear what God is saying, but we got to begin to do what God. James tells us we should not just be hearers of the word, but we have to be doers of the word. So when we lay hands, he said we can lay hands on the sick and they shall be recovered. And many times we will not lay hands on the sick because we fear it's something that we have to do. He didn't tell us that we had to do it. God himself is going to do it. All we have to do is do what he say do. He said lay hands and then don't worry about whether they're going to recover or not, because it's not my place for them to recover or make them recover. It's God's place to make them recover. And God says in his word, Numbers 23:19, he said, God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he shall make it good. So if he's the one who's responsible, that's why when our apostles getting up ministering, he said, and something come out of his mouth, he just said, because he's not responsible for making it come to pass. God himself is responsible for making that thing which come out of his mouth come to pass. And so somebody have to do it. So, and if the prophets is not saying what God said, and then he, you know, in the scriptures over in Jeremiah, one of the things he said, if God tell me to tell you something and I don't tell you and something happened to you, he said, the blood shall be on my hand, because he was responsible for revealing us, showing you what that which God has said. He also said, now, but if I tell you and you don't act on what I said, he said, it has come off of me, but now it's on you that you didn't receive your answer, that you did not act on what the word of God said. And so let's go finish up here. It says Acts 5 and 11, it says, and great fear came upon the church and all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostle were many signs and wonders wrought among them. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So great signs and wonders. Think of signs and wonders. Think of supernatural. Think of a spiritual kingdom. Think of another realm. It's not a natural realm, but it's God has brought us into a spiritual realm. We've got a natural realm and we have a spiritual realm. So we have to think about the other realm now, and since we came into the kingdom of God. That's why when you came into the kingdom, the first thing he told us after we got in, he says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, if you be Christ, he said, then are we new creatures. They say, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That which has become new, you look at yourself, that, you know, your body still looks the same. Your natural self still looks the same. But that inner person, that inner being that's on the inside of you has now been created in the form, in the image of God again. That old nature that you had in you, the old spirit that you had in it has been eliminated. And now you're taking on the spirit of Christ Jesus on the inside of you. So that's our spiritual kingdom. God is a spirit. And we who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that's a realm that we're operating in the kingdom. If we operate in the kingdom, the Apostle Paul said the natural man cannot receive the things of God. Why? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he said, because they are a foolishness to him. If God speaks to these things to us to us, that's foolishness to the natural man. But us who are in the kingdom of God, we should understand that this is God speaking. God is a supernatural God. Nothing is impossible with God. And since nothing is impossible to God, then if he said it, he's going to make it good. It's up to him and to make it good. The apostles keep us believing, but the prophets keep us expecting that God is going to do something. God is going to move in our situation. He keep us going by telling us what God is saying in the situation. I have a perfect example. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. And God always have talked to his prophets. Jeremiah was one of the major prophets, a great prophet. In Jeremiah chapter 1, this is Jeremiah, it's called, if in my heading, it says the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And so here, chapter 1, verse 1, it says the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were at Antioch in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the sons of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is the prophet. He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of thy womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God is telling Jeremiah, he said, before your mom even thought who you were going to be, he said, before you was formed in your womb, so that means you had to come from somewhere else. You had to be formed in the realm of the spirit before he came into his mother's womb. God said, I knew you before I formed you. And he said, I ordain you. So that's coming from heaven. He said, I ordain you a prophet unto the nations. So God says, my prophets, I already got them in line. Who are they going to be? Who going to speak for me in the earth realm? And so if they're speaking and it's coming out of their mouth, then we who are in the kingdom, those nations, as he said, we got to receive him as that prophet. And so again, throw Matthew 10:41 in there. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's word. Whatever's coming out of his mouth, that if I'm going to receive him that way, then I should receive that which God is saying from him. He goes on to say, he said, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So again, God is speaking to the prophet. He's saying, now, whatever I command you, you have to speak that to the people. That's the prophet. That's his place. That's what he's supposed to be doing. And that's why if you watching a man of God, if you're my apostle in particular, if he watching, if you're listening and he begin to minister, he begin to teach, and sometimes he'd be a little slow getting on. He said, I don't know, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do right now, but I'm just waiting. I'm listening for the Holy Spirit. And so what is he saying? I'm listening for heaven. I'm trying to find out what heaven want to say or what heaven want to do right now. And so he's not rushing. He don't have his preconceived. He may have some notes, but he's not set. It's not set in stone what he's going to do. And so he's saying, I'm waiting for heaven. You know, there's some situations in here that God want to take care of right now. And so I'm going to hear from heaven. And when I hear from heaven, then I'm going to give that to you. Whatever I say to them, then that's what I'm going to speak to you. And so that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That's why we should be filled with the Spirit of God. We should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he's going to tell us and direct us how to operate in this kingdom. He says, he goes on to say, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. So he didn't just tear down. He wanted them to, you know, that some of that doctrine that's in the church has to be rooted out, has to be torn down, have to be destroyed. And then he said, and to plant and to build. So once he gave them what he told them, command them to do something. He didn't just ask them to do something. He commanded them. He said, whatever I command you, that's what I need you to do. So I need you to root out some things. There are some doctrines in the body of Christ that needs to be rooted out, torn down. For instance, the apostle is speaking to us now. He's telling us about these various camps that's in the body of Christ. He's talking about a grace camp over here and a faith camp over here. But the two camps have to be together in order for us to see the supernatural operating in the church. We have to have faith to operate in this grace. The word of God says in Ephesians 2:8, say we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God. But many are preaching just on grace, and many are preaching just on faith. But God said, I need the two camps to come together. So those signs and those wonders, those supernatural things that you see in the book of Acts can begin to manifest in the body of Christ. And then when they begin to manifest, then people are going to want to see. They're going to want to come and see what's happening. It has to happen because that's what God said. He says, I commanded them to do this. Watch what he says. He said, moreover, verse 11, the word came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then saith the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen. He said, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Did God speak? No. He's put his words in the prophet's mouth. And then God said, I'm responsible for bringing that word to pass. God told the prophet, he said, when you speak, when I command you to say something, he said, it ain't on you to bring it to pass. You're just to command and speak those things which I say, and then when I say it, when you say it, it's just like me saying. God said, I will hasten my word to perform it. If those who will hear that word will listen to what he said, and then that which they are seeking God for will come to pass. One more example I want to show you. Turn to 2 Chronicles. And just, you know, these people received God and received the prophet as they was prophets of God. In 2 Chronicles, one of my favorite examples in the Word of God, that when you're seeking God for something and he give you an answer, and then you have to whatever answer. Sometimes, again, in the natural, when God give you an answer, it may seem foolish to you. But your place is to do that which God told you to do. Here in 2 Chronicles, I'll take a few verses out and read it and let you see how when the prophet spoke and the people actually heard what God said, and then that which God spoke came to manifestation. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says, "And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle." I call them, that was those four armies. They came against the king Jehoshaphat. He said, "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazar Tamar, which is in Judah. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah." And so first thing he did, he proclaimed the fast. He began to seek the Lord. He brought everybody together to seek the Lord like we do. Situations come up in our life. Life situations come up, not our life, but as I've been taught, it's not my life. I have abundant life. But life situations come up in my life. And so my place is what? To seek God. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing it." And he's saying, "These things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. He's saying, now, when you seek me first, then I'm going to show you exactly how to do it and how it's going to come out in your favor, how you're going to come out in victory in that particular situation. You don't go out and do it yourself. Lean not to your understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. Proverbs 3:5. He said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. Everything you do, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." So God himself is going to direct what you need to do in that situation. If you're going to listen to him, you're not going to go by your understanding, because when you go by your understanding, guess what? You become your own God. And so whatever results you get from what your understanding gave you, that's the results you're going to get, whether it's the answer to it, whether you got victory, or whether you got whether you lost in that situation. That's what you got, because you're dependent on your own understanding. He goes on to say, 2 Chronicles, verse 4, and it says, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God," he began to tell God who he was and how great God he was. He began to praise and worship God and tell him the things that he had done. He brought some things back to his remembrance that he had did before. And so what he's saying is, if you've seen what God has done before, since God has no respect of a person, then the same thing he did for someone else, he'll do those same things for you. So you can use that as an example. So he began to tell him. Let's skip over to verse 14. It say, "Then upon Jehaziel," here come the man of God, here come the prophet, he was in the congregation at the time, but he was not in that position. The king was in position. King Jehoshaphat was in that position of authority. And so as they began to seek, the man of God got the word from heaven. And when he got the word of heaven, he had to give that word out, which came from heaven. It said, "Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. He said, For the battle is not yours, but the Lord's." Now here you are, you're out here, you got all your little children, all your things that you own. and they got all these armies coming to take that away from you. And the word of the Lord came to this prophet, this man of God, and he told him, he said, now in this battle, he said, you don't have to fight in this battle. He said, but you set yourself and you stand ye still. Now, if you're in the natural, the first thing you're going to think, you know, how if I'm not going to fight in this battle when these people are coming to take away my stuff that God has given to me? What am I going to do? He told him, he said, set yourself and stand ye still and watch ye the salvation of the Lord with you. That's meaning your soundness of mind, your protection, your healing, whatever you needed, your salvation, whatever you need from God. He said, set yourself and watch that come to your pass. He goes on to say, this is the prophet. He said, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up, and he tell them where they were. Prophets are talking in the future. God had to have shown him that. He had to tell him because he knew exactly what they was coming up to. But he says, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jerah. You should not need to fight. He says it again. And so if you get a revelation, if you're in a situation, a life situation, and you can get a revelation of that, you can use that revelation in any life situation that you don't have to fight in this battle. God got this. And so once you get that and understand that, God has spoken this word here, and I can take that same word that he spoke to Jehoshaphat back in 4,000 years ago. I can take that same word, and when my enemies come against me, and I know the word, it revealed to my spirit. The Holy Spirit said, I bring things to your remembrance, all things that I've said unto you. So you bring it up, and then now I have a right to use that word which God has spoken to Jehoshaphat back then. I can use that exact same word. I don't have to fight in it, because God says, he said, I got this. He said, just sit still and watch the salvation of the Lord with you. He goes on to say, he says, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. He said, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now, we're getting perfect examples of, we're not just going through church anymore. As our apostle is telling us, we are in church unusual. As a man of God, as our apostle come in and he give us words from God, and when we get a word from God, he tell us we should be praising God, giving him glory for the answer that just came out. Even though we see no manifestation of what God has spoken, but if we believe what the man of God has said out of his mouth, and then we begin to praise God for the answer that he has given to us already. And so we can praise God. If he say you're out of debt, then we receive that. If we receive him as an apostle, that he's speaking from God from heaven, then we receive that and we rejoice like we are out of debt. It doesn't matter whether it has manifested in your life or not, but it has been come from heaven out of a man of God's mouth that he has spoken to you, and then you receive it that way, and then the manifestation shall come. Watch what he says here. He says, they begin to worship, 18. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of Kohite stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. I noticed yesterday we was just praising and shouting and twisting and turning, because we gotten a word from God. He said, and they rose early in the morning. Now, this is what they getting ready to do. He told them, don't go. You don't have to fight in this battle. But set yourself and stand and watch the salvation of the Lord. He said, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, he said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. He said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And so that was saying that what you've been seeking me for, you first of all, you have to know it's God that's doing it, and that the word that came to the prophet came out of heaven, and he's speaking for God. And since he tried to show it to them clearly, all the people, and he said, believe in the Lord thy God. He said, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And so then they went out and they said, they began to sing praises to the Lord. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. They didn't go out and they didn't get their swords and their shields and their spears to go out to fight. They got praise in their mouth. And like I say, there many times God would tell us something, and rather than us doing what God tells us to do, we want to do our own thing. And we end up losing the battle because we are doing our own thing. Rather than this is a spiritual kingdom. And when the man of God, when the prophet of God is speaking to us about our situation, it is not coming out of the natural. It's coming out of the realm of the spirit. It's coming from heaven to earth. So we can operate in the earth like we are supernatural beings. And so we have to understand it. We have to get to that point. And so he goes on to say, and they rose early in the morning and went out forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Judah. He said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. I like that scripture. So to be part of that scripture, make that your meditation scripture for this particular class, where it starts down there. It says, be in my book. It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And so you begin, make that your meditation scripture. What did the word of God say? Say, this book of the law should not depart out of your mouth and out of your eyes, but you should meditate in it day and night. And then you make your way prosperous, Joshua 1:8. And then you have good success. And so if you got some things in your life right now, you can go back and you can look at those passages of scripture. It gets on down to the end of it. And after they did, I say, and the Lord, you know, Lord that spoke to the prophet. But now God's time to manifest. That supernatural is beginning ready to come into being. It said, and the Lord set ambushments against those armies that was coming against them. They didn't fight in it, but the Lord did this. And since the Lord did it, it said, and they killed every army, killed everybody. And they said, and then after everybody was died, then the prosperity came. It said, it took them 3 days to pick up the spoils. And so everything that they beat, as you go through that story and see how the prophets, how we listen, how we should hear when the man of God is speaking to us, and how we should receive. That's why when you go back and Apostle Paul began to lay the foundation of the church, and that's why he tells us if we receive, over in Romans 5:17, he said, if we receive, he that received what God, this abundance of grace and this gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So whatever comes out of the man or the prophet of God's mouth, and we receive it in that way, and then we should go back to what God set us. We should go back to our dominion. God created us in his image. He wanted us to dominate, and since he wanted us to dominate, we need to know how to dominate. And so you're training. The only way it's going to happen, we're going to have to be trained how to do it. Just like, if you was in the military and you go through boot camp, they train you how to be a soldier. And so in this kingdom, we have to be trained how to be soldiers. Father God, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Father. Father, we thank you that we're no longer just hearers of your word, but we become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.